Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise at all times. Lord, we ask that you would move in our midst this morning. We invite the Holy Spirit to come to transform our hearts, to speak to us and bring us comfort. And I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that they would be good and pleasing to you, the rock and redeemer of our souls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. All right, I'm going to ask you to engage your memories. I know for some people that's a little harder as you get older. My memory doesn't work as well as it used to. But I want you to go back about 5.5 years ago to 2020, to late March and April when the pandemic first struck. I know. You've blocked that out of your memory, but let's go back. Do you remember the very real fear that was there? Do you remember the feeling of isolation when the orders to stay in place were put out? Do you remember how lonely it felt? Do you remember what it was like to go into a grocery store and they had the arrows for which direction down the aisles you would go? And there's other people in the grocery store, but everybody has masks, and you feel so incredibly isolated, even from the people in the grocery store. And y'all may have picked up on this in the time you've been here, but I have a perpetual cough. I've had it since I was like 3. So when you are in the midst of COVID and you're in the grocery store with a mask and you have a little cough, everybody starts to stare. And then you feel like you're the socially rejected outcast because everybody fears that you are the one that's going to give them COVID. For those of you that actually got COVID, do you remember what it was like to have to be isolated in your own house? And people would get COVID and they would go into their rooms for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 days while their family stayed in the living room and other parts of the house, and they would drop off food at the door of the bedroom. Our current Archbishop, Steve Wood, was one of the early cases of COVID in the country. Steve Wood was on a ventilator for 10 days. Steve, who was a great man and was my bishop at the time for the diocese I was in, Steve went into the hospital because he was having trouble breathing. And of course, as soon as he went into the hospital, he was isolated. He wasn't allowed to see his family. He wasn't allowed to see his wife, his children. And as his oxygen began to plummet, they realized they were going to have to put him on a ventilator. And he knew at that time that it was about a 50-50 shot that he would come out. People that were put on ventilators, especially those that went on for 10 days, most of them didn't make it. Steve was alone in his hospital room and had to FaceTime his sons, his wife, pray for them, and say goodbye. This was a hard time. And that's why we try to block it out of our minds, right? Feeling isolated, feeling rejected, being broken off from community by the fear of the disease isn't an easy thing. Now imagine that you lived in the first century and one day you notice a rash on your skin. And you know what this means. Your heart begins to sink because you know that if you can hide this rash for a little bit, you might be okay, but eventually somebody's going to see it. And you hope and you pray that it's just a heat rash and that it's going to go away, but then it doesn't. And you start to notice that your fingers are curling up a little bit and you're having trouble feeling things. And you know you have to go to the priest. And you go to the priest, and the priest declares that you have leprosy. And now you're truly a social outcast. You have to leave the village. You have to leave your town. You have to go, and you have to find other lepers who have formed these colonies to live together in away from everyone else. Not only are you unclean because of the disease, but you are considered spiritually unclean as well. The assumption is that if you contracted leprosy, you had probably done something to deserve it. Your sins or the sins of your fathers and fathers and fathers had somehow come upon you. So you are a complete reject from society. You know that as you leave the priest and you walk out the city gates, that you will never see your wife and children again. You'll never see your mother, your father, or your loved ones. You will live with others like you. Leprosy is a painful disease, and it takes a long, long, long time to run its course. The symptoms start in the skin and the peripheral nervous system, and then it starts to spread to the other parts of the body, your hands, your feet, your face, your earlobes. Disfigurement of the skin and bones come on. Your hands curl up into these claw-like forms. Tumor-like growths begin to grow in your skin and even in your respiratory tract. The optic nerve may deteriorate. But one of the worst parts of leprosy is most of the deformities come because you've lost the sense of pain. So you can reach out and put your hand in a fire and you wouldn't feel it. You can lay your hand on something hot and you wouldn't know it until it was too late, and now your hand is burned. Loss of limbs, loss of digits, disfigurement, and then the spiritual pain of feeling rejected by others and by God. This was truly a horrible disease. Did you know a cure for leprosy wasn't found until 1981? It's called Hansen's disease now. It can be treated. But then it was a death sentence. Now we're told in today's gospel reading about these 10 lepers. Jesus is traveling from the region of Galilee. He's traveling down to Jerusalem. Now, what sits in between Galilee and Jerusalem? Anybody know? The area of Samaria. The Samaritans were considered unclean by the Jewish people because the Samaritans were a group of people of some Jewish descent, but of foreign descent as well. They were the ones that had not been taken off into the Babylonian captivity. And while the rest of the Jews were in captivity, they were in this area of Samaria, and they intermarried with other foreigners and different culture groups. So the Jewish people looked at the Samaritans as traitors, as unclean. And Jesus is traveling from Galilee down to Jerusalem, and most Jewish people, if they were doing that, they would go around Samaria. They would go over near the Jordan River, they would walk down here, and then they would come back towards Jerusalem because you don't want to go through Samaria. But that wasn't the way Jesus worked. So we're told that Christ is coming in the land between Galilee and Samaria. And here are a group of lepers. They had probably formed a small colony. They were living with other rejects. And as Jesus approached them from a distance, they see him. And they call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, ask yourself this question. How did this isolated group of lepers know who Jesus was? Now, we might not know, but let's speculate. There were no newspapers. Most outsiders weren't passing through their village to see them. The word of Christ had been spreading all throughout the land. Earlier in Luke, we already know that he had healed a leper. He had laid his hands on him, something you don't do because you will then be unclean. Oh, but nothing can stain Christ. And so Christ lays his hand on this leper and he brings him to health. You know that word must have spread. And maybe the wife of one of these 10 had heard about it, and hope started welling up in her. Imagine that she went to the edge of the little town where her husband was living with leprosy, and she shouted, because you can't get too close, "My love, there's hope. There's this man. His name is Jesus. And he's bringing healing to the blind and to the sick and to the crippled. And he even healed a leper. Keep your eyes out for him. Keep looking. He'll be followed by a bunch of people. You'll know him when you see him." And these group of men, the hope must have been rising in them day after day. Oh, God, please let this Jesus pass by us. And then that day arrives. And they scream to him for mercy. Now, Jesus never heals the same way twice, it seems. With one leper, he laid his hand on him. With one blind man, he prays for him. And the blind man only sees partially, so he prays again, and then he sees fully. Another blind man, he spits in the dirt, and he makes mud, and he smears it on the blind man's eyes. When the cripple is lowered from the ceiling by his friends, Jesus looks at him, and he says, "Your sins are forgiven," which I'm sure was baffling for everybody, because they weren't looking for sins to be forgiven. They were looking for healing. But then Christ proclaims, "Arise, take up your mat and go." All of Jesus' miracles don't follow a certain format. And here, Jesus doesn't approach the lepers. He simply says to obey the Levitical laws, the law of Moses, the law that God had given to the Israelites. If any leper thinks that they have been healed, they are to go and present themselves to the priest. The priest looks at them, and then the priest says, "You are clean." Now, the priest was not the one healing. The priest was only the one doing the proclamation. And here Jesus says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." These men knew what that meant. They meant that if they were to show themselves to the priest, that Christ was about to do a miracle. And so they turn and they begin to walk. They start heading towards Jerusalem to the priests. And can you imagine what the conversation was like as they were walking? At first, they were probably all shuffling because they're crippled and they're deformed, but then they begin to straighten up. And they look down and they realize the sores are gone. And their hands, they can move. Their earlobes, which were swollen, began to shrink back into place. All the rashes that were on their skin start to disappear. And they're talking to each other. "Look, look at my hands. Look, look at my nose. Does it look okay? It looks great." Can you imagine the excitement of that conversation? The joy that was in their hearts as they knew that they were about to be reunited with their family, that they were to be able to hug their wife, their children again. There's no doubt that these 10 men were filled with excitement and with gratitude. But only one turns around. Only one recognizes that the source of this goodness was Jesus Christ. And not only that, he was a Samaritan. He was a reject. He was a reject of rejects. He was a Samaritan who had leprosy. We don't know the eternal destination of the nine. The gospel doesn't tell us what happens to them. Maybe after they go home, maybe after they had heard about Christ's death and resurrection, maybe these nine were among the first disciples. But Scripture doesn't tell us what happens to them. I want to put this story in the context of where it is in the book of Luke. In chapter 16, we're in chapter 17. In chapter 16, Jesus says this: the Pharisees who loved money heard all of this and were sneering at Jesus. And he said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." And immediately after this, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus, of course, in this parable, is a stand-in for the Pharisees, for the scribes, for the Sadducees, for all the wealthy, for Israel itself, those that had been given the riches and the goodness of the kingdom of God and who took it and didn't share it. And what happens to the rich man? He ends up in hell, separated from God because he took advantage of all the blessings that were given to him and he failed to share them with others. And then last week, we had the story, the parable of the unworthy servant. Here we have this unworthy servant, and Jesus is telling us the servant should not expect any great blessings, but should continue to serve as they are called. All of this is being addressed in this context of the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, and all of Israel who took for granted the blessings that they had been given. They thought they deserved the blessings because they were the chosen ones. They were Israelites. They deserved God's favor simply because of who they were and where they were born. This was their attitude, right? And so we get this next story in that context. These nine lepers that failed to come back to Christ are like all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and others in Israel who were blessed immensely by God, but failed to praise his name rightly, to give right thanks, and to fall at the feet of Jesus. This Samaritan, this one who had been healed, he comes back, and he is not passive. "Hey, Jesus, thanks. Thanks for healing me and all." No, it says that he was praising God loudly. "Jesus, thank you." And he falls at the feet of Jesus and he praises the name of God. There are three different Greek words in this passage that are used for healing. The first is katharizo, which is where we get the word catharsis, cathartic. It means to cleanse. And it says, and as they were cleansed, the leprosy was being cleansed out of their system, katharizo. Then it says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Well, this time it is ayamai, which means to heal. Now the last word, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Well, the word here, the faith has made you well, or some translations may say your faith has healed you. This word is sozo, to save. Some translations have it that way. Your faith has saved you. This one leper, not only is he healed physically, not only is he restored to his community, but he is saved by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. He comes back, praises Jesus, and experiences salvation. Oh, folks, you are loved by Jesus Christ. The same Jesus that healed these lepers. The same Jesus that healed the blind men. The same Jesus that made the lame walk. The same Jesus that died on the cross and rose from the dead. The look of love on his face for that leper is the look of love that he has for you. Close your eyes. We have all been blessed by God. We have also suffered the hardships of this world. We know pain, but we also know joy. We know heartache, but we also know grace. I want you to imagine the face of Jesus Christ looking at you right now. That expression on his face is one of love, one of compassion, and one of invitation. I want you to open your eyes. You are being invited to fall at the feet of Jesus. It is only at the feet of Jesus that any of us know salvation. It is only at the feet of Jesus that we can know real life. Oh, we can be healed and we can receive blessings here in this life. Apart from Christ, there are plenty of wicked people that have live in abundance and live lives free of hardship. And God can even bless you, and you can walk away from it, take it for granted. But Christ is inviting you to be like the 10th leper, to fall at his feet, to sing praises to God Most High, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to be saved. How will you respond this morning? How will you respond? When you walk out this door, will you walk out and will you be like the 9 and forget to return to Christ? Or when you walk out this door, will you allow Christ to remain in your heart every day, at every moment, and praise his name? Oh, folks, I love this church. And I would take a church of 70 people who are like the 10th leper over a church of 5,000 filled with the 9. Let's be a church that falls at the feet of Jesus, and that we are like the Samaritan leper who praises his name and knows salvation and brings that salvation to the world through our proclamation of his goodness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.